Have I become independent of the Lord when it comes to Him and His need in my life, my married life, my family life, my business life? Do you take the Lord to work with you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Do I take the Lord with me into my pleasure life, as well as the boardroom, as well as the shop floor, the office, hospital? If the answer is, I don't think so, I'm not quite sure, it means it's not yes. But to truly humble ourselves, it is to say frankly and honestly, no. I'm reminded of the disciples, you know, who, after the resurrection, they'd gone off fishing, hadn't they? And they'd been at it all night. And the Lord called out from the shore and he said, have you got any fish? And they said, well, the tide's going the wrong way. The wind's up a bit and it's a bit murky under here and got a hole in the net and the anchor's drifting, you know, and all these other excuses. Praise God, they never came up with one of them. It was a blunt confession. No. And I ask personally tonight if we can hold the candle of Holy Scripture and say to ourselves as we shine it upon ourselves, are we seeing blessing in our own life? Are we seeing blessing in our church life? If we are to seek blessing of the Lord in this coming weeks when our brother comes and evangelizes this area, do we do him credit and justice by making sure the vessel through which he seeks to work and has been so invited to work is a clean vessel, pure of hindrance, and let in every respect a united fellowship? It goes on to say then in this verse 14, turn from your wicked ways, or if you like it, as we discovered this morning, repent. Oh, but you say, Mr. Lacey, wasn't that part and parcel of salvation, and it is also still of a believer? I know there are some that will go around and saying it was all done at the cross, and when I came to admit that I was a sinner, here on after God winks at it, I can't find that in Scripture, sorry. Anymore it was with Simon Peter, when the Lord said, look, I want to wash your feet, and he said, no, he said, give me a bath. Put me in the tub and scrub me. Oh, saints of God tonight, sometimes, when we come back from our places of work, and we've mixed with the world, we feel like that, don't we, or don't we? If we don't, we need to ask some questions, don't we? The Lord says that initial work of the bathtub exercise, if you so like, was done at Calvary's Cross, when we first came and humbly bowed the knee and asked for forgiveness. But now there comes often that time, doesn't there, regularly on a regular basis, of, Lord, what I have done and what I didn't intend to do, what happened that shouldn't have happened intentionally or unintentionally, it needs clearing up and dealing with, doesn't it? And as God, as it were, he puts his finger on our heart and he says, hey, this won't do. You ever been in that situation? You know, our life is like a department store, isn't it? A variety store. And God, as it were, seemingly in patterns and portions of our life, he moves from area to area, and he puts his finger on it, as he places us in a situation and exposes the light of the searching glare of his word and the enabling of his spirit to prick our spiritual conscience and say, listen, all is not well in this area. Can we have it cleared up? Let's clear it up tonight. And when these things are done, when the desire is there for a clean-up job in our life, when we're ready to admit that in some way or other we're not matching up because of this, because of that, let us turn to God and repent of it. And then he will come in then. I will hear from heaven. Ever discovered why your prayers weren't answered? Ever discovered why heaven on some accounts seems like brass doors to you? Has there been something put there as a barrier? Not by God. His ears are ever open. But by us. And if it doesn't seem that we can fathom it out, then let us ask God to prick our conscience afresh and reawake us or relight the candle. But it hasn't gone out. It wants the wick kindling, doesn't it? I will forgive them. That's beautiful, isn't it? First of all, God would, I will hear from heaven. Then to man would, I will forgive them. Thirdly, I will heal their land. God longs to use us to reach out to our land of the Bahama Islands, to seek to restore our own brothers and sisters of this nation, to call those who have never called upon his name to seek and find him as their Lord and Saviour. But at the minute and for the moment, it cannot be done because the vessel that he chooses to use is not in a fit state. Another passage of scripture I'd like to touch on is 1 Peter 4:17. For time is come that judgment must begin at the house of the Lord, the place where revival starts. The place where revival starts is amongst the various stratas that we find within the church, amongst the elders, amongst the deacons, amongst the believers, amongst the sisters in their work, the brethren in their work. There must be that unity kept. So therefore a unity does exist, doesn't it? As we would find in Ephesians and chapter 4. And the maintenance of that unity, I believe, is one of the most difficult things in the whole of this wide, wide world, because if the devil can smash it there, he's got it in one. No mass walkout, just disrupt one or two, and you've screwed up the whole church, and its progress, and its use, as God can use it, to his fullness, and to his blessing. And if it beginneth us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? How can I not then use you and reach out to you as I long to? And even furthermore, and if righteous scarcely will be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We have a responsibility to them out there to lead godly lives. Otherwise we are going to be a stumbling block. Otherwise we're not going to shed our responsibility, are we? Otherwise God is not able to be able to call them, for he can't use those who have been given the responsibility, the joy and the privilege, and also the reproach of carrying the cross of Jesus Christ out into the marketplace. That sinners may be drawn to Christ through us and through our lives as they are seen. Luke 14:25-33, if any man come to me and hate not his mother, his father, his wife, husband, in-laws, outlaws, children, brothers, sisters, any relationship, in other words, not that we should hate them, but if we should place them before the Lord, if we should have a spiritual preference of serving and loyalty to our loved ones before our loyalty to the Lord, that must be attended to and adjusted. Many of us have strong bonds at home with our wives, with our children. Is the sacrifice too great to come away and do some work for the Lord? Are you a bit concerned it might bring disunity in the family situation, in the marriage? Is the possession of the home and the refurbishment or furnishing of the home more important than that of the work in the local church? So that would be my tiny experience, that when we put Christ first of the marriage, first of the family, not at the expense of the wife, the family, or the business or whatever, but when Christ stands there and the family looks up to him together, then we see that any sacrifice we make is over and above blessed compared with the tiny, tiny sacrifice that we have made. And it encourages one to go on and say, well, why didn't I give him more? That he could have blessed me even more. Even as we were thinking this morning, the time that we wait upon the Lord is only blessed by what he will encourage us for having spent time doing. But when we wait upon God as individuals, we get to know his heart. It was John the Divine, wasn't it, or so called, as it were, reclined upon the breast of the Lord, that he heard the murmurings of his heart. You know, when we live that close, the blessings that God can be through our life are just countless, aren't they? To find ourselves moved by him, to find ourselves in situations where God has placed us a second timing, in order that we might catch someone in distress, catch someone in need, to be able to bless someone who is sorrowing or in pain. Isn't there no greater privilege than that? Let's have our priorities right, even when it comes to our relationships with our loved ones. There can be, of course, a ridiculous situation where we can go overboard and we can neglect. And it will be at the expense of. Then again, we come to that farm which we can't do without in a situation like this, can we? Psalm 24, verses 3 to 6. Who shall stand? Or if you like, who will be accepted? Or if you like, whose worship? Whose service? And to what extent our separation? In order that we might be blessed of the Lord. It'll be he who has a clean pair of hands, who in other words works with pure motives, who doesn't go into a situation and, as it were, puts on a show of Christianity in order that he may gain from that situation, God forbid, but go more into the situation that is hopeless and potentially unprofitable, and see how profitable it is. He who has a pure heart, we cannot worship God, can we, unless the heart and the mind is first of all right with God. Taking time quietly before even we open our mouths, I love to review the life of Nehemiah and Ezra. The time they spent in quietness before daring to open their mouths to God. How often we come in a rush into his holy presence. Freedom, yes, we have. Boldness, yes, we have. But please, oh please, reverence we also must have too, when we come into the Holy of Holies, within the rent veil, where we bow the knee and we seek to hear and give of our worship. He who has a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his heart or his soul to vanity. Oh no, the proud, yes, the arrogant, yes, and I'm talking about the Lord's people, can be charged with such carnal sins when drifting long enough and left to drift. These situations are then prohibitive of those who would seek to come into the house of God and be heard. He who has not sworn deceitfully, ones who haven't gone about foolishly oathing. These things don't count in the book of God, do they? Our ideals should be levelled against the promises of God. And if there's anything to be sworn to be done, we take notice of how it was done in that day. It's done in the promises that are laid down in Scripture, that we obtain them. We have no strength. We have no freedom whereby we stand and lay down any conditions of the way in which God is going to so bless us or not. No, by the great I am swear he himself, for there was no other power greater than himself. And the blessings that he has sworn that are ours will be given to us according to his good pleasure and the way in which we match up to his standards through his enabling power. These then will be those who receive the blessing, those who seek him, and those who seek his face. A lot of it just boils down purely and simply to prayer, from which will come the faith to enable us to live out Christian life. To this church, to its brothers, to its sisters, let us get down and pray in true faith. Father, as you send your servant, cleanse your church, cleanse even me, that you may be able to open heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. We long to see our island purged. We long to see its health renewed. Lord, help us in our childlike faith. Lord, help my unbelief for what you're going to do for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we realize how it is so easy for us as your children to start to run away from you again. Seemingly, our Father, so quickly and so easily, that since that day we were spiritually born again, to be called your children, to be called your sons, your daughters, to be called your servants, your priests, your ambassadors. Father, there are times in our lives when, through your prompting and probing in our life, we hang our head in utter shame. To think that we could be found guilty of what we know lurks in our breast and in our heart. O Father, through the Holy Spirit that may be inhibited within us, may tonight he be released anew. As we deal with situations in our life and have them removed from us. And that we shall be forgiven and cleansed in order that he might yet flow again. O Father, bring us to our knees as we pray to thee and ask thee for a fresh vision of Jesus Christ as our Saviour. As he hung there and bled and died for us, as he endured the cruelty of man, mental torture that they put upon him with their ugly mouths and words, those 3 hours of darkness and separation from a righteous, holy and pure God. Oh, our Father, he did all these things for us. Where are we? And what are we doing ourselves for thee this evening? Father, we do pray then that as we leave this place shortly, that we may go sober-minded and sober-hearted. What you have said to us may linger in our hearts and minds. We might be free and humbled to come to you afresh and reevaluate our lives before thee. Search out our hearts, our faith, Father, as we look expectantly to thee in the coming days, for then great blessing as our servant comes amongst us, sent of yourself.
to preach the word, to see the dear ones out there restored to yourself, to become children of the Most High God, and our land so healed. We ask these things, our Father, for thy blessing, for thy name's sake, for thy glory and the extension of thy kingdom.